This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne this morning asking you for your blessing on your word. Lord, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would understand your words that you would have for us here this morning, and that you would give us understanding and wisdom to apply them in our lives and to walk in these truths. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up and glorified through our lives, through your children, Lord, that you have redeemed. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as well, that they may also be born-again believers and in your family as well. Bless again your word and your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "For by faith ye stand." For by faith ye stand. And as we consider this here, Paul had a concern for the believers at Corinth. And what we want to take note of here is that Paul loved these people. Amen. God gave him a heart for the people of Corinth. God gave Paul a heart for all of God's people and used them in a mighty way. And today we have the words of Paul that have been written by the Holy Spirit, by Paul, used by the Holy Spirit for our blessing as well. Now remember who Paul was. He was a persecutor of Christians, amen? And God turned his heart around in a miraculous way. By the way, God turns our hearts around also that we might love him and understand all that he has for you and I as believers. And so as we consider this here, I want you to notice what he says here in verse 24. "Not for that we have dominion over your faith." So it's a personal faith, isn't it? It's your faith that you have placed in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. By the way, that's how everyone gets saved. Amen. They understand by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God brings them to the place to where they see that they're lost and undone, that their sins personally have separated them from the Lord, and that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, shed his blood to give us his righteousness, to redeem us, forgive us for our sins, and place us into his family and into the kingdom of God. That's how salvation takes place. Amen. It's a personal experience, but all of us can say, amen, yes, Jesus Christ, the righteousness that he has displayed and provided us with on the cross of Calvary by shedding his blood, dying on the cross, and raising again gave us eternal life. And that is the bottom line. If anybody adds or takes away anything from that, they are missing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure that if you're here and you don't have that assurance, that's how it all takes place. And how old do you have to be for that? Well, if you understand right and wrong, you're old enough to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. And as long as you have your right mind and you're able to think, we praise the Lord for that. And by the way, we don't always have that. There's not always going to be a tomorrow. And so we want to take advantage and realize that people are slipping into eternity every day. And God has given to us eternal life and also the life of Christ to enjoy and to live in on this side of eternity. So again, the title is, For By Faith Ye Stand. And we are established in Christ. We'll see that here in just a moment. We are anointed by God. That's what the Bible tells us. And we are sealed and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And by the way, and then we are told that by faith, we can stand in the truths for the glory of God that God gives to us. So God wants us to stand for His honor and glory. We can't do that in our might, but God wants us to do that in 2025 by His power and grace. And all we need is faith, or we interchange that word with the word trust. If we will just trust the Lord when He says, follow me, that we'll walk in His ways. Amen? He says, you don't understand. I can't walk on the water. Neither can I. Amen? When God says, follow me, it's just like walking on the water. We can't do that. But if God is saying, follow me, and calling us into that, who should we look to fulfill God's will? We should look to the Lord. Amen? So let's look to the Lord and experience what God wants us to experience in 2025. Three thoughts this morning that we'll consider, and that is the importance of God's reciprocal love. That's important for the believer. That means we reciprocate. That means God gives us His love and fills us with His love, and therefore we have that love of God to give to others. Is that the truth? There's something wrong if there's not a reciprocating love. In other words, we're not the Dead Sea that just takes, because there's no life in it. So God, we are channels. You've heard that before, right? Of the Holy Spirit. God gives to us, fills our cup, and it overflows, and we give to others the things that God has given to us. Secondly, we have a testimony of simplicity and godly sincerity. Listen, a testimony of simplicity and godly sincerity. There is nothing complicated about the power of God. There is nothing complicated about the will of God and the work of God in the life of the believer. God has made it so simple that even a child of understanding can receive and walk in the same truths. Thirdly, helpers of our joy and faith. Before we get started, though, just a little bit by way of introduction, I want to just kind of look at these first few verses that we looked at here in verse 21 and 22 and 23. In fact, I want you to know that the Corinthian church needed the help of God, did they not? They were saved. God was using them in a wonderful way, but they had gone off track a little bit. Have you ever gone off track a little bit? Amen? Have you ever gone off track? That's the way it happens. And so God has seen fit to give us the writings here that were given to the Corinthian church for our blessing as well, because He knows the nature of man is sometimes goes off track, right? And so I want you to see the spirit of Paul. Again, Paul loved these people, and he was coming to them. In fact, just go down to verse 23. Notice what he says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. He says, I'm wanting you to know that as I stand before the Lord, I want you to know this, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. In other words, Paul was directed by the Lord to help to straighten the church out by the word of God, for the work of God. And he said, I did not choose to come at this particular moment because I did not want to overburden you. I did not want to be a detriment to your faith. I wanted to enhance and help you. Sometimes we're not in the right place in our hearts, in our minds, to receive God's direction. Amen? But God wants to bring us to that place. And so Paul says, I was waiting because I did not want to overburden you. And then notice what he says here, verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. He says, you know what? We are fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, we are helpers of your what? Of your joy. We are helpers of your joy. Do you know that everything God does in our lives is for our joy? Wait, let's try that again. Do you know that everything God does in our lives is for our joy? Amen. Amen? It's also for His glory. Now wait a minute. Wait. Now listen. Do you really believe that everything God does is for our joy? Amen. All right. Okay. Hang on tight. Amen. You got your shoes good and tight? Hold on. Because sometimes the things that God does for us, we don't understand. And I want you to know, I fight the same battles you fight. I have just been privileged with the preaching of the Word of God. Why? I don't know. Amen? But I'm thankful for it. But I want you to know, I receive the same lessons you're receiving, and I want to walk in the same truths that we're hearing here this morning. And I want you to know, I am not a master of the things of God, but God reveals them to me, and I want to learn and walk in what God reveals. How about you? Amen. I just want to walk the way God wants. I want God to show me the way to go. As he says, follow me, here's how you do it. And I need the Lord, and I know that we all need the Lord in order to be successful concerning this walk. Now, we're going to see some things here that glorify the Lord. It will glorify the Lord, but also may be hard to grasp. Amen? But wait a minute. With God, we can do how many things? We can do all things. So, Lord, we need you, Lord, or this doesn't make sense. It definitely bucks against the natural man, the flesh, right? The old man. He's not subject. He doesn't want to be subject to the things of the Spirit, but we have to just say, you know what? This is the way we're going. The Lord said, come this way. We're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice what it says here in verse 1. We're going to back up here. And this is the importance of God's reciprocal love. And I really believe, just to relax everybody, this is a good message, amen? This is a beneficial, good message for, listen, our blessing. I need to receive this too. I've been privileged to study it, but I need to receive this that I might walk in this every day. I can hear it today and forget it tomorrow. I don't want to do that. Lord, I want to be reminded of this every day. So notice verse 1. Paul, he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Amen? By the will of God. That's who put him there. And by the way, it was the will of God for you and I to be saved, is it not? And it is the will of God for us to follow him as the Lord says, follow me. So he says, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which, by the way, Northwood Baptist Church is a church of God also, and which is at Corinth. We happen to be in Columbia, Missouri, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Does God want us to have his peace? He does. Amen. He does. So keep that thought in mind. And by the way, God wants us to have his peace. And God wants to give us his peace. And so don't forget that, because that's God's plan. And then notice what he says right here. He says, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies, plural, right? We need the mercies of God. And by the way, it is by the mercies of God that you and I are here this morning. And we thank the Lord for that. And the God of all comfort. So he's the one that gives us all comfort. Now, these things are important. God is the God of mercies, and he is the God of how many comforts? All comforts. This is important because this will incentivize us to follow him. Listen clearly, when it doesn't make sense. Listen, we're going to look at some things here this morning that to the natural man, it doesn't make sense. If you were to tell a person in the world to do this, they'd say, you're crazy. Amen. This doesn't make any sense. But you and I who know the Lord and trust the Lord, even though it doesn't make sense to us, can we follow him? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So look at verse 4. Who comforteth us all in all our tribulation. Did you hear that? Paul is saying that God comforts us in all our tribulations. So does that mean that we have tribulation in this life? Absolutely. And by the way, how many tribulations can God comfort us in? That's important. So God can comfort all our tribulations as we are following him. That we may be able, listen, to comfort them which are in any trouble. Do you see the purpose of the comfort that God gives us in tribulation? So that we in turn can comfort other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God allows us to go through some difficulties, and we see his faithfulness as we look to him, and he comforts us when it doesn't make sense. So in turn, we can say, listen, I want to share with you what God has done in my life. I want you to know the trials that God has brought me through, and he has been faithful even when it didn't make sense. So Paul is revealing this to them. that we might understand the purpose of the tribulation and the comfort that is given to us in those tribulations. And that is, of course, that we might be able to help others that might be, by the way, look at verse 4 again, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Any kind of trouble, we'll be able to help them, but we'll have to follow what God is teaching us here in just a moment. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, for as the sufferings, plural, of Christ abound in who? Listen to that. Listen. The sufferings of Christ abound in us. Now, we know that Paul is speaking specifically about himself, but God wants us to know that if we will live godly, are we going to suffer persecution? Absolutely we will. So if we're going to live godly, what does that mean to live godly? That doesn't mean to live religiously. That doesn't mean to have a religion. That means that God is the center of our heartbeat. That means that the glory of God that says, listen, if you're going to follow me, we must do what to ourselves? Deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. And that's a whole different ball game than just being saved and not denying ourselves. So it's important, by the way, and this was a church that was in trouble, spiritually speaking, and God was wanting to help it. And so God has put it in the canon of Scripture that you and I also might learn from it. So as we consider this here, he says, I want you to know that God is wanting us to consider the sufferings of Christ. Notice verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also, listen, aboundeth by Christ. So follow that. Listen, there are sufferings of Christ. They abound in us. When something abound, that means it supersedes, right? So the grace of God much more abounds in our life over sin, doesn't it? But so do sufferings and so do trials also abound. But that's what shines the light of God in our life. If everything's going our way and we're not suffering, think about what the world sees. If you and I are going through some hardships and some trials and some difficulties and we still have joy, don't you think the world says, that's different? But if we're only happy when we're on top side, why, the world does that. But so they see no difference. And then if we're all upset and we're put out and we're angry and we're downcast when things aren't going our way, well, they say, I do that. So is the believer different than the world? But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so watch this here. So he says this here in verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, and we will be, amen? It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Did you get that? Paul is saying, listen, if we abound by the grace of God when things don't go our way, or the way we would like for them to go, this is what brings glory to the Lord, and this is what the testimony needs to be for other believers in our lives. Listen. And by the way, God does not want us to fabricate this. This joy comes from the Lord. Your life can be turned upside down, and you can be going through some difficulties, but if God gives you the grace, shouldn't that be to the praise of His name? If God enables you to go through something and you feel the confidence that God is in control and you feel good about your situation, God wants us to feel good that we are in the hands of God. Right. Amen? And so notice what's happening here. Paul is saying, and again in verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or your comfort and salvation. And by the way, are they not saved people of God? Yeah, so what is he talking about salvation there? He's talking about our life here. That it is in the hands of God and that we live a life that reveals the salvation of God working in our lives. Not talking about eternal salvation, but the salvation of God that saves us from ourselves, from this world, from the flesh, and from the devil. Does that make sense? We need to be saved, not for eternal life, but we need to be saved from ourselves and from the world. We need to be delivered, don't we? Amen. From ourselves and from the world and from the devil. Amen. And so don't confuse those things. And this is what he's telling to the believers. And that's what gives us this reciprocal love, right? We're receiving this love from the Lord, and he's giving it to us, and we're trusting him to do that for us in trials and tribulations, and then we reciprocate it. But listen, all we have to do is trust the Lord that he will give us his joy in those trials. Listen clearly, he does not want us just to put a smile on our face because we're supposed to be smiling. He wants us to experience his grace and his love in those difficult times. How in the world did Job say, Though he slay me, right? Though I lose everything, and I'm just paraphrasing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, was Job's wife saved also? Yes. But what was her response? Curse God and die. And what did Job say? Now you speak like the foolish women. What kind of foolish women? That don't know the Lord. See? So Job understood. He went through a trial, didn't he? And by the way, Jesus spoke about the faith of Job, the patience of Job. He was the right. Now, listen, he went through a hard time, did he not? He felt it, but he also experienced the grace of God that kept his faith. The faith of God kept his faith. All right. So verse 6 again. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, we're going through these afflictions, and whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Did you get that? This is this reciprocal thing. God, listen, through Paul was telling these believers, we need to reciprocate the mercy and grace and love of God through these trials. But if we don't believe in those things, we will only be complainers. We will only be complainers. God allows things not to go right for a specific reason, that we might look to him and not ourselves and what we think. Does God hold the whole world in his hands? Does he hold us in his hands? Will he ever let us go? But sometimes we walk like he's let us go, don't we? Sometimes we talk like he's not holding us in his hands when we're complaining and I complain. I want you to know that, okay? But that's not the right thing to do. That at that moment when I'm complaining, you heard me say that, right? I'm not trusting the Lord at that moment. Now, am I still saved?
Yes.
Of course. That haven't lost it, but I don't want to walk that way because that doesn't honor the Lord. It doesn't glorify the Lord. If we're complaining about everything that's going on in our life, does that really reveal that we trust God? Not a bit, not even a little bit. So what we need to do is slow down and remember, God allows this into my life that I might look to him and not myself. Otherwise, we play this game. I'll see you on Sunday, God. And we forget him the rest of the week. I'll see you on Sunday. Now, that's not the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. And by the way, listen, we miss out on the Lord. Wouldn't you like the supernatural, spiritual mercy and love of God to fill your heart and mind when you're going through trials? Wouldn't you like to have the peace of God when things aren't going right? I do. I want the peace of God. Listen, the three Hebrew children, did they have the peace of God as they were staring at that fiery furnace that just killed the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar? Did they have the peace of God? You know why? Because they had the presence of God.
Amen.
And do you know what that presence of God did for them? Be it known unto you, O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. That's what they said to him. If so be, God will deliver, but even if he doesn't, and I'm going to paraphrase, hey, we're not going to bow. And so what happened? What happened when they got thrown into the fire? Well, here's an amazing thing. Their ropes came off. And Nebuchadnezzar said this. Didn't we throw three in the fire? Hey, you know what? There's a fourth one, and he looks to me like the Son of God. And when they came out, the Bible says, do you believe this? Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke.
Amen.
Did that fire touch them?
No.
Were they in the fire?
Yes.
you and I can be in the fire and God not let the fire touch us, that our hearts won't be moved from our God. Now here's the question. Do we want that? Do we really want to experience that in our lives? God wants us to. And here's the good news. All we have to do is present ourselves and say, Lord, teach me. Show me how to walk that way. Lord, I need... See, and that's prayer. Did you know that? Lord, I need you. That's prayer. I need you to show me how to do that. I see it in your word. I don't want to be a hearer only. I want to experience God in my life. I don't want to just know I've got a home in heaven. I want to walk with Jesus every day. Amen? Amen. All right. And by the way, God understands our failures and our setbacks. But as long as we'll continue to pursue him, he'll be found of us. Amen? And so as we consider this here, notice verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast. Isn't that good? We can have a steadfast hope. And by the way, that comes from other believers as well. Knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, plural. Listen, there are sufferings. What's going on? That's not supposed to be happening. Yes, the Lord says sufferings. Because that's how he separates us from the flesh. And from our own understanding. And to look to the Lord to give us his wisdom and understanding. And not to lean to our own in the midst of those sufferings. And so he says... verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering. Is he saying this to believers? Is the Lord speaking this to us today?
Yes.
This is the way to have a wonderful 2025. And say, Lord, show me. That doesn't make sense to the natural man. And I want you to know, my natural man is not saying, oh yeah, sufferings, I want to suffer. No, but here's what I understand. The spiritual man says this. Sufferings in my life will work the will of God in my life. Did you hear that? Listen, sufferings that God brings into my life will work the will of God as long as I see them coming from him.
Amen.
And we need the Lord for that. Lord, help me to see things as you see them. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation, of the comfort. So listen, as I trust the Lord in the sufferings, I get his consolation. But am I trusting in the Lord when I'm like... or when I start complaining and telling everybody all my woes? I'm not saying that we don't feel those, but Lord, give me wisdom and understanding in the midst of those that I won't be as a sheep. You know, it's a bad thing for sheep to be talking while they're eating. Right? Because then the food just kind of look, it's a train wreck, right? And so for God's sheep to be complaining, how can we really tell the world we're blessed by God? How can we really tell? See, we have not learned at that moment to trust the Lord. And we're not experiencing the Lord in the midst of that trial. And it may be because we don't believe the Lord. That he will meet us in that trial. See, if we're just looking to the natural realm, well, if it doesn't go like this, I'm not going to be happy. Well, what if it's God's will that it goes like that so that we can look to him? In fact, I will tell you this, it is. Does God work out all things for our good? All trials, all difficulties? The question is, do we believe it? I will let you know, I don't always believe it. I don't always believe it. I lose my joy sometimes. But am I wrong or is God wrong? I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to tell you, if I've lost my joy, I'll just tell you this. Let me ask you, does God do all things well?
Yes.
All things well. Why do we complain about some of them? Don't we? I'm in the same boat. I'm with you. Amen?
Amen.
I just want you to know that. But we've got to stop. We've got to get out of the boat and get on the water where the Lord wants us, following him.
Amen.
And in the miraculous way that we might enjoy him. Listen, God's not wanting us to impress the world. God's wanting to impress us. And when he impresses us, the world will see. We don't have to put on for the world. God wants us to put him on, trust him, walk in his ways. He'll bless us and we'll be in awe. No one's going to have to get us to commit to prayer and worship because we'll just be doing that. Amen? Do you think people are in heaven, are saying it's time for worship? Or why are they constantly praising the Lord? Because God is their life.
Amen.
And you know God wants to be our life, even on this side of eternity.
Amen.
So the importance of this reciprocal love when we are in trials and when we listen, and God gives us that consolation that we in turn have something to give to somebody else in the Lord. And by the way, and to God. Doesn't that reveal our love for him? I trust you. Watch this. And God meets us in that tribulation and comforts our heart. You know what the natural thing is? Thank you, God. That's praise. You are holy, God. And when God gives you that comfort and that confidence of loved ones that have gone on before, that you will see them. Does God ever do that for you? I've got loved ones that I know that are in heaven that I'm going to see. There's no doubt in my mind. Do you know what God does for me? He said he causes me to think this way. What must they be seeing? That what do they know that hasn't even entered into my mind? Secondly, a testimony of simplicity and godly sincerity. Look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. He says, I'm giving you a testimony here, and I'm being sincere. We have trouble. I don't want you to be naive or ignorant of our trouble, verse 8, which came to us in Asia. Listen to this, that we were pressed out of measure. When something's pressed out of measure, it's out of sorts, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. The Apostle Paul despaired even of life. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not, that we should not trust ourselves. Why was that giving? That he would not trust himself. But in God, which raiseth the dead. Do you and I believe God raises the dead?
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Then if we die to self, who will raise us? God will raise us. Who delivered us from so great a death. Listen, did God deliver us from eternal death?
Amen.
Now watch this. And doth deliver. That means in this present day, he'll continue to deliver. Is God faithful to his word?
Yes.
In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
He's delivering us today. He has delivered us and he will deliver. Ye also helping together, did you see that? The involvement of other believers. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Do you know it is important for God's people to pray one for another?
Amen.
It is the will of God. Did you just read that right there? It is God's will that we pray one for another.
Amen.
It's important. And what does that reveal when we pray one for another? Love, brotherly love. Are we not in the family of God? Are we not the body of Christ?
Amen.
Are we not joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Why? It would behoove us to pray one for another. Are we not on the same team? In the same family?
Amen.
With the same Savior?
Amen.
Oh, may we walk like that. Amen? May we walk like that? Because sometimes the old flesh gets in the way. But may our focus be steadfast on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him and his way and not ours. That's a battle.
Amen.
And we need the Lord to deliver us from who?
Ourselves.
Oh, ourselves. You're right. Listen, I need the Lord to deliver me from me. Amen? Every day. Me gets in the way. My thinking will get in the way of God's. And you know what I've discovered? And help me, tell me if I'm not right in this. My ways are not God's.
Amen.
I need God to show me his. Sometimes I have these ideas. And if they're not in the Bible, they're not God's. Amen? I want you to know I struggle with that. I battle with it. And here's the thing. You and I looking at it right now, we say, well, I understand that. I don't want to walk in that way. Then why do we do it? I don't know. Why do we do that? Because we've taken our eyes off the Lord just like Peter did and he began to sink. Listen, every time we fail, every time, not most, every time we fail, take note, we're not looking to Jesus.
Amen.
We're looking at our problems. We're looking at what we want. We're looking at what we think. And if we're doing that, we are not walking God's way. And we're sinking. We're sinking as a child of God in our faith. We are sinking. Does God want us to sink?
No.
No. Does he want us to do the supernatural in his power?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the grace of God. Grace of God. Amen. So, notice, he says, again, verse 11, ye also are helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. This is reciprocating thankfulness, and it's a simple testimony of God's sincerity here. Verse 12 says this, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, that's where the battle's at. We use fleshly wisdom. Listen, when the flesh gets involved, we'll begin to doubt what we know is right. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Ward. And by the way, conversation has more than just to do with what we say, but our manner of lifestyle, how we live. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. So you know what he's saying? Acknowledge the need for God and for this active work to be taking place all the way to the end. What does that mean? That when I am suffering, I am leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ that he might provide his mercy, grace, love, and joy and consolation so that when he blesses me in the midst of that trial, I have something to give to somebody else. And by the way, listen, how do you give that? Well, when you have the joy of the Lord in the midst of that trial and other believers in the world see that, you're giving it to them. What are we giving to them? We are giving to them a witness of God's great faithfulness in our life when we shouldn't have it. The world doesn't have it. Only the believer has the potential to have it if we're looking to the Lord. Listen. The world doesn't have it. Only the Christian has the potential of having it when we're looking to Jesus.
Amen.
But if we're not looking to Jesus, we have nothing to give the world to give to the world. Verse 13. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Because they understood that. Did they know the sufferings Paul went through? And God brought them through how many of them? And when Paul preached out of prison, you'd never know he was in prison. And when Paul spoke to them and wrote this letter, they would have never known unless Paul said, we even despaired of. I want you to know, it was so bad, God, just take me home. Ever been there?
Right.
Ever been there? Just take me home, Lord. I'm ready to go. But no, Lord, for the glory of God, thy will be done. Your will be done. And Paul was saying, listen, this is acknowledgement to the Lord and the glory of God. Now, does that make sense to us, naturally speaking?
No.
But spiritually speaking, God says, that's the way I work. The way up is to humbly go down. Amen? To humble ourselves before the Lord. And in this confidence, verse 15, Paul has confidence. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit. You know, the Lord just wants to bless. Amen?
Right.
Benefits are good things, aren't they? And to pass by you into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea of you. In other words, that means they were going to help him to get over there. You know why? Because they've helped him before. Look how it works. Was Paul a blessing to the Corinthian church to preach the gospel and then be saved?
Yes.
And Paul's saying, you're a blessing to me. And they really were. But they had gotten off track, and Paul, through the Lord, was trying to help them out. Last thought, helpers of our joy and faith. These are all good things. God wants us to understand the importance of God's reciprocal love in our lives. We receive, we don't even have to give it. If we're receiving, as we go through these trials, and God is giving us this contentment and this joy and this consolation, the world and other believers are going to see that. And we don't have to broadcast it. Amen? And then we find this testimony of simplicity and godly sincerity in our own lives, that Paul was wanting to do business. I trust the Lord in these trials. You're trusting the Lord. Let's walk in these things to the glory of God by His grace and power. Last thought, helpers of our joy and faith. Verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purposed? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Am I going back and forth on these things? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. God is all positive. Listen to this. For some of the promises of God... Most of the promises of God, for all of the promises of God in Him are what? Did you get that? Don't miss that. Everything God has promised to us, He will do. Are we willing to trust Him? Listen, we have to die to self. I will tell you this, your flesh won't like it. Oh, but the Spirit and your spirit, our spirit will rejoice when we see the Lord intervene. When we're willing to trust Him. Do you know, listen, God uses circumstances and situations in our life that we might humbly walk with the Lord. I want you to know, for most of my life, I resisted that. Saved child of God, shouldn't be treated that way. Oh, if they did it to the Son of God. And He lowered Himself like nobody else. And walked humbly before us. And He says to you and I, follow me. Follow me. Quickly. Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which establishes us with you, this is a joint thing, in Christ, and hath anointed us, is who? God. Who also hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. He cared for them. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, and by faith ye stand. He said, you know what Paul was saying? I'm telling you these things to help us. To help us. One last thought, and I would like for you to turn over there. Go over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, just for a moment, just to see this. This is important. Because sometimes I think we get things out of sorts, or I do anyway, and maybe forget about these things. But look at the last words here, as you know, Peter's, he knows he's getting ready to go home, and he's giving them good advice that he learned from the Lord. And look at verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourself. Oh, there it is again. Humble yourselves. That means trust the Lord. Lord, I need you. I can't just wing this. I need to trust you, Lord, in everything. I need to keep my eyes on you, and I need you to do that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's coming. It's coming. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's the beauty of it. Be sober and vigilant. In the midst of all of this, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that in the same afflictions, plural, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That's us. Notice, but the God of all grace, verse 10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He says, amen. Did you get that? After that ye have suffered a while, this is that suffering. He will perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and settle us, that we will be unmovable. That's the work of the Lord. If we will allow it. I need to allow the Lord. He won't infiltrate our lives. He'll be invited. Amen? Will you invite the Lord? Can you trust the Lord with that? You'll go through some difficulties, but he'll bring to your mind, this is that trial. He will. He'll bring to your mind, I'm doing this for your good. So that you don't lose your joy, and so that you don't look to self. And thank you, God, and I'll walk with you in this. And he'll bring us through the other side like never before. And we will worship him. We will worship. Was it better for Job at the end after everything he went through? Absolutely, right? How about Peter? Peter says, thank you, God. Thank you, God, after I've forsaken you, you never let me go. And now Peter is the one teaching us how to suffer. Remember what the Lord said when he had to go to the cross? Oh, that shall never be. No suffering for Jesus. Now he's saying, this is the way it works. Who taught Peter that? God did. The same one that will teach us. Amen? Would you rise? Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, maybe the Lord has spoken to you and said, you know, this is the way. You've seen it in my word. Will you call upon me and trust me to work this in your life for my glory, your blessing, and a testimony and a witness that is undeniable? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your work that you do in our lives. May you open up our hearts and minds to see, Lord, that we need you to work in our lives, and that we might expect, Lord, for your comfort, Lord, to guide us into these trials in such a way that we will experience your grace in a powerful way, and you will bring us to the place of worship and praise, and that the world, Lord, and your church body would be built up and edified, and the world would see there is a God in heaven that walks with us. Bless, Lord, your people this morning, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.